Hi, it's Michael Senoff with Michael Senoff's HardToFindSeminars.com. The title of this interview is called, Does Eating Chocolate Really Help You Lose Weight? Neuropsychologist and nutritionist Dr. Will Clower, author of the book Eat Chocolate, Lose Weight, says it's not a gimmick. You should really incorporate chocolate into your daily routine if you want to lose weight. The only catch, you have to do it the right way. And in this audio interview, you'll hear exactly how that's done. Dr. Clower says the right way basically comes down to choosing the right kind of chocolate, being able to train your body to use that chocolate as a way to reduce the volume you're hungry for, and listening and recognizing your internal cues. Essentially, you'll be using chocolate as a window to healthier eating habits, and in this audio interview, you'll hear all about it. You'll also hear the science behind this chocolate diet, the physiological responses chocolate naturally produces in the body, and how it all works together to produce constant weight loss results. You'll also hear debunking the I have a sweet tooth, so I can't help it myth, and the reality of the way your taste buds really work. You'll hear about how to add chocolate and cocoa into your diet so that it increases stamina and decreases your weight. You'll hear the very first thing Dr. Glauer says you must do if you want this diet to work for you. You'll also hear two ways to train yourself to control your eating, so your body goes into autopilot every day and you no longer have to think about your eating habits. You'll also hear how to use dark chocolate to cut snacking in half. You'll hear a typical day on the chocolate diet and why Dr. Clower calls this the year of chocolate. Should you really eat chocolate in the morning as a daily meditation routine? How to make this dream routine your must-have reality. You'll also hear about a simple trick you can do with a freezer that will help you stop overindulging every time you make a batch of cookies. Look, Dr. Glauer says, the goal is to find a way to live a life and not a diet. In other words, stop trying to follow the rules and restrictions of every traditional diet and start creating a whole new healthy lifestyle that you don't have to think about. And in this audio interview, you'll hear how chocolate can help you do that. Now let's get going.
Hi, this is Chris Costello, and I've teamed up with Michael Senoff to bring you the world's best health-related interviews. So if you know anyone struggling with their weight, with cancer, diabetes, ADHD, autism, heart disease, or other health issues, send them over to Michael Senoff's HardToFindSeminars.com. Today we are talking with Dr. Will Clower, author of Eat Chocolate, Lose Weight. New science proves you should eat chocolate every day. Dr. Clower, great to have you on the show today.
Thank you. Great to be here.
So are you going for the most popular diet, doctor? What is this fascinating concept?
It's interesting because over the last 5 years, the newest research on chocolate, on the polyphenols, on cocoa, has shown just an amazing amount of activity showing that cocoa and chocolate products are incredibly healthy for you. And in my day job, I provide wellness programs for corporations globally, and we incorporate chocolate into the nutritional plan that we give people, and we find that people who eat chocolate consistently also lose weight. And so those practical, on-the-ground level findings are consistent with that new data that's come out, showing that consistent dark chocolate consumption is associated with reduced weight, in fact.
I've got to be honest, when I first saw this title, I thought, oh, this is a gimmick. But then I continued reading, and you're an award-winning neurophysiologist, a neuroscientist, nutritionist, and founder of Mediterranean Wellness, so you know your stuff. Now, what is this based on? What is the science that the idea of you can lose weight with eating chocolate based on?
Well, a lot of it comes from changing how you eat. So first of all, in order to eat chocolate and lose weight, you have to choose the weight loss chocolate, not the weight gain chocolate, obviously, to start with that. And then once you know what that is, you have to eat that in control so you don't eat so much that it becomes bad for you. So let's just start with the quality of the chocolate that you need. We can list them. They're so long. But all of the health benefits truly comes down to the cocoa. And so when people say that darker chocolate is better, the reason they say that is because it's got more cocoa in it. So the weight gain chocolate in cocoa because it's higher in sugar. The darker chocolate is higher in cocoa and lower in sugar. They are reciprocal. So the first thing you need to know, if you want to eat chocolate and lose weight doing it, is to make sure you work your taste up to darker chocolate.
It is a very different taste. But once you start to really start eating it, I tried some organic dark chocolate, you really do develop a preference for it.
And that's something that I want to communicate over and over and over to people, that your tastes for certain foods are totally within your control. You can create that reality. And the way you do that is to train yourself on certain flavors. So, for example, some people will say to me, Dr. Flower, you know, I eat sweets because I have a sweet tooth. Not my fault. I got a sweet tooth. What am I going to do? When, in fact, the truth is just the opposite. They have a sweet tooth because they eat sweets. And now, the same thing is true for dark chocolate. I was on an interview this morning, and the person said to me, I love the sweeter chocolates. What am I going to do? Will this even work for me? And the answer is absolutely, but you have to give yourself the freedom to work yourself up and to look at this like a process of learning healthier eating behaviors through the chocolate. It is a window to healthier eating behaviors. Does that make sense?
Right, it does. And so what kind of things do you recommend when people are looking at this new kind of lifestyle where you're not talking about deprivation, you're talking about controlling and moderating, it sounds
right.
like, these things.
Yep.
So what does it look like?
Well, what I want you to do is to include a little bit of chocolate every day. And a good way to do that is, first of all, to prevent overconsumption. I mean, this is what everybody worries about, right? Is there an off switch? If I start eating chocolate, does it ever stop? One of the ways to do that is what we coach people on in the book, and that is to practice conscious eating or sensual eating. When you eat your chocolate, if you leave it on your palate, let it melt, taste of it, and say make it last as long as possible, there's something that happens in your brain, in the neural receptors on your tongue, called sensory-specific adaptation, meaning that the drive to consume it abates over time. It's almost like your brain, what it wants to do is to taste more. So if you leave it on your palate and you taste it more, then you're hungrier for less. However, you ever watch people eat and they chew, swallow really quickly? When you do that, you don't taste a lot of it because it spends more time in your gullet than it spends on your tongue. When that happens, the quantity that you eat increases. So your question is, how would you coach people into a lifestyle of control, not deprivation? Well, it starts with learning to love your food and practice sensual eating.
Dr. Clower, one of the big problems with people when they are trying to diet, I've talked to a lot of people that they just can't have any of these foods around. They just will not stop eating them. They're so addicted to them. Can you explain how does this way that you're talking about, how does that work? What are the differences there?
There are some clinical conditions where there actually is no off switch. Alcohol is one. If you're a person who can't stop at 1 to 2 glasses and you go to 1 to 2 bottles, then you don't need to start. It's not important. It's just good for you, that wine. You can do something else. If you know you cannot stop, don't start. Don't be silly. The same thing is true for chocolate. I've spoken to people who said, if I start, I'll go through a pound. I am a compulsive eater. I have a problem. If you are to that clinical level, truly, and the percentage of the population who is actually at that clinical level is microscopic. It's very small. If you are, you don't need to start. You need to see someone. But most of us, truly, if you practice sensual eating and you take your time, the amount you are hungry for becomes self-limiting. Now, one other thing I have to say is that if you apply the chocolate, if you deploy it, like we talk about in the book, in association with your meals, it can help constrain the volume you're hungry for at the plate. It can also help prevent between meal nothing that happens where people are hungry all the time. In our programs, tens of thousands of people have worked with us. What we find is these are data that when you incorporate what we call the ender after the meal, it is the meal tag after your lunch, after your dinner. The amount of time that you're snacking between meal is cut in half. So between lunch and dinner, you're just not hungry. There's a physiological reason why that's true. We can talk about it if you want, but the bottom line for me and you and my mom, normal people, is that having this little wonderful makes you moan out loud meal tag on the end of your meal helps you control that chronic consumption that leads to chronic calories, which leads to chronic weight gain. The same thing happens on the front end. When you apply these behavioral strategies, what we see in all of these people is that the amount you're hungry for at the plate will drop from one half to a third. So you're eating all you want. You eat all you want. You just want an amount that's appropriate. That's how you live a life, not do a diet.
What I'd like to ask you about is you mentioned there is a physiologic reaction. What causes that? And then I'd also like to just have you describe what the typical day is on someone that is reading eat chocolate, lose weight, and what kind of things
sure.
they eat.
Sure. So let's just say the ender. So you finish your meal, and then after your meal you have high cocoa chocolate on the end. The cocoa butter just comes normally packaged in chocolate in there. Can stimulate satiety hormones, such as cholecystokinin and neuro. But these neurohormones do a couple things. They can drift up to your brain and say, I'm full, stop now. But also, they can help to slow the rate that your stomach empties into your small intestine. Now, small intestine, that's where your food gets absorbed. If it slows down the rate of that absorption, then any sugars that are in your food, for example, instead of being absorbed rapidly, spike into your bloodstream. It's absorbed more slowly in a nice steady curve. If the blood sugar is absorbed rapidly into your system, then that can cause an overproduction of insulin from your pancreas, which can cause all of that blood sugar to be whisked out. If you've ever had the sugar blues where you've eaten a lot of sugar products and in an hour and a half you're hungry, that's why. And that's why people have to snack between meals, because they don't have that little thing on the end of their meal, or they're eating foods that are high in sugar. So the physiological response that happens is twofold. One is in the satiety hormones that can be produced by the chocolate, but also in how it helps you process your foods at a moderated rate so that, any blood sugar you do have inside your body lasts longer through the afternoon. So you're just not hungry.
For more interviews on health, mind, body, and spirit, go to Michael Senoff's hardtofindseminars.com.
And so before we go on to what a typical day looks like on the eat chocolate diet, why do you think there's so many people struggling now? It's not just the U.S., it's worldwide, but so many people struggling with obesity and inability to lose weight. What do you think is going on with this?
There's a cacophony of noise, of different ideas. It's low fat, it's low carb, it's food combining, it's caveman diet, it's your blood type, it's food combining, it's everything in the world. And all the ideas coming from all the different directions are very, very, very confusing eventually, because it's like everybody's saying a lot of different things and so no one hears anything. Also, and this gets back to the confusion, do you remember this? Do you remember when margarine was good for you?
Sure.
Yes.
Yeah, I know lots of people that still think that.
That was like the official American Heart Association recommendation. When you go into the dairy section, it's the one with the little red heart on it. But now we know that that was causing the problem they told us it was fixing. And the high fructose corn syrup that was in the low-fat products were also causing the problem they told us it was fixing. And I think that people get a little jaded after a while when we're told that eggs are going to kill you. And then we learn from Harvard and Willett and others that an egg a day is just fine for you, has zero impact on cardiovascular risk factors. And so because of that, the advice that comes from health authorities changes, it seems, often. And the voices that are heard in our culture of health are disorganized. They're all over the map. That creates confusion, I believe. There's a solution to that. A solution, and this is my perspective, I promote the Mediterranean diet, the Mediterranean approach, is that there are healthy cultures. There are cultures of health that have low obesity rates, and they get their knowledge of how to eat and how to know what to eat from a certain place. That place is called history, culture, and tradition. They do what they do because they've always done it, and what they're doing produces low weight, healthy hearts, and longer lives. My perspective is this. Let's go on an observational model. Do what healthy people do. Because if you do what they do, first of all, you can see it works with your own eyes. You don't have to hope that that brand new theory turns out to be correct. But also, if you do what healthy people do, you're going to get their results. And I have to say, one of the things that healthy people do are have small amounts of rich, wonderful foods like chocolate at the end of their meals. That's
So how else should people plan their day if they're going to eat this way? What else will they be eating?
You can eat anything you want as long as what you're eating is real. If it's a food, if it was alive at some point, if it had a mama and a daddy. If our grandparents didn't eat it, then you probably shouldn't either. So if you can incorporate cocoa, undutch, natural unsweetened cocoa, not Dutch processed, into your daily life, then you should. I spread a little bit of my coffee in the morning. If you're making a stew or anything savory or tomato-based, cocoa goes wonderful. Add that to your food. It's phenomenal and excellent for you. You need to add it in association with your meal. And so prior to lunch, after lunch, prior to dinner, after dinner. And then what I want you to do when you're on the plan is to take data on yourself. Judge how much you're hungry for normally, and then apply the chocolate, and then see the effect over time. What you're going to see is that the amount of food that you're hungry for drops, both between meals and at the plate. Next, when you are for activity, I want you to add a cocoa drink. It can be milk or water, it doesn't matter, in association with your routine, and take data on yourself. You know how you feel when you walk, when you exercise, when you run, when you do whatever you do. Then apply the cocoa, undutched, unsweetened, natural cocoa. And then see what happens to your stamina, because the research data are very clear that your time to exhaustion will increase. Your basal metabolic rate will increase. So add that to your routine prior to your workout. Regarding meditation, a great thing to do and something we advise you to do is to take 10 minutes, that 10-minute mini meditation each day. And one way to practice sensual eating is to take one small piece of chocolate as your meditation. And you put it in your mouth, and you let it sit, and you think about the flavors, and that is your singular focus during your meditation in the morning. It's a perfect way to start the day. And it allows you to incorporate a healthy food into a meditative routine in the morning. This will help reduce your cortisol levels, your stress hormones that you would take normally with you through the day. So that's what it looks like. Chocolate, 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 structured but in control.
Now, when you're talking about cocoa, you don't mean a mix of cocoa. What exactly, what kind of cocoa are you talking about, and where do people get this kind of thing?
Sure. Go to the baking section of any grocery store, and you'll see it's called cocoa. And if you look in the ingredients, it'll say ingredients, cocoa. That's all. Cocoa powder, that's it. There's two varieties of them, though. One is Dutch processed cocoa, which is fine for you. It's fine. Dutch processed cocoa, and another way that they say that, is processed with alkali. But the other type of cocoa is not processed with alkali, and that's called natural unsweetened cocoa. And they're both there. They're right there in the baking section. You can find them both. Put them in a big can. The natural unsweetened cocoa has 60 to 90% more of the polyphenols and antioxidants in the cocoa than the Dutch processed. 60 to 90% more. That's why it's so good for you. And the other one is fine, honestly, truly. But the natural unsweetened version is massively better.
So, Dr. Clower, you've got a lot of great recipes in Eat Chocolate, Lose Weight. What are some of your favorites?
I love the brownies and the chocolate chip cookies. I love the chocolate chip cookies. One of the things I did with the chocolate chip cookies is I have dark chocolate cracked up in there. But I also replaced some of the flour with that cocoa powder I talked about to make a chocolate cookie. The way you mess up cookies is to eat too many of them. So what I do and what I want you to do when you make these is to make the dough, make them into little balls, and then put all the two or three of those balls into the fridge, into the freezer. They'll keep forever. Not forever, but they'll keep forever. And then you can cook the two that you have, and that's all you need. If you cooked up the entire batch, you need the whole batch. Well, some people would. So a solution to overconsumption is just this real simple trick, this real simple thing to do that allows you to just pull a couple out whenever you want them. That way it lasts longer. You control consumption and get to have the health properties in the process. I love that. On the savory side, any savory item is great with it. Stews, chilies, any tomato-based products. I have a Jamaican jerk fish that is a tomato, soy, cocoa base. That's phenomenal. The Jamaican jerk swordfish, I think, is unbelievable. It's really, 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 really good. And I'm also partial to the pudding that I make. It's all just made with natural stuff. Easy peasy, lemon squeezy. You just do it on the stove. So simple. And it's something that if you eat it in control, accountability for everything.
And so what does a typical day look like for someone that's trying to eat chocolate?
You can apply the cocoa in any way you like. And so obviously, like I said before, you can have the chocolate pieces in association with your meals, but you can also have cocoa nibs in your salad, for example, and cocoa powder in any savory thing that you want to prepare. In the recipes, there's also salad dressings that you can also prepare, which are fantastic. So those are other ways that you can apply this to food and the foods that you eat during a day. But I have to tell you that what I don't do in this book is have an out-and-out prescription that you have to follow to the letter, an external guide that says you have to eat X number of grams of this kind of thing at this exact time. That's not what we do. So what I want to coach you to do is to recognize the internal signals, the internal cues that are there for you. They're there. You just have to practice listening. And part of what the chocolate and the routines that we set up are here to do is to give you the tools to tune in, give you the tools to hear the signals that are there and help you control it. You get all the health benefits without overconsuming.
This is Chris Costello reporting for Michael Senoff's HardToFindSeminars.com.
And is that why a lot of those other diets tend not to work? Like people get very enthusiastic for a week, follow everything to the letter, and they'll feel great. And then week two, it's like, oh, can't do this anymore. Have you found that your process is much more effective for people?
Yes, and it's more effective in the long term because it becomes who you are, not just what you do. And so the behavioral routines that I have are something that I coach people to learn. With how you eat, how you taste, how you go through your meal, the rhythm of eating that we talk about in the book. Once that's expressed through your behavior, then it's who you are. And you're not on some dumb diet. You just live your life. This is a personal thing with me that I love to emphasize is in one part of the book, I talk about a philosophical difference with this diet and what makes it easier than other ones. And that is the difference between ours and others. And I feel like ours is more Taoist in a way than Confucianist. A Confucianist approach is one that specifies rules. The Confucian approach was that. Rules and rules and rules and rules and rules to regulate behavior. By analogy with diet, oftentimes diets will say you have to have 2,000 calories per day, and you have to have this number of meals and 40% by carbs and 40% by protein and 30% by fats or whatever. You know, it's got those overt external arbitrary rules that you have to follow every day, and people just can't do that. A more Taoist approach is principles-driven, and you can find the internal cues. And once you hear and can respond to those internal cues, you don't need the external part anymore. And you can live there because you don't have to remember the rules. Coming from inside you. This is a fundamental philosophical difference that sets aside this approach from every other approach I am aware of. I talk about the how of eating, where I talk about the importance of listening and learning to listen. And I interviewed this woman, she's from the University of San Francisco, who studies food, but is also a philosophy person whose emphasis is Taoism. Uh-huh. And we talked at length, and I have a beautiful quote in there that summarizes what we're kind of after, that you have the cues, you have it inside you. It comes baked in, and we lose it. We stop listening to it because we're focused on, oh, 30% of my calories by fat, or, you know, I've got to get so many points in a day or carbs in a day or calories in a day. And that is really hard to maintain if you're a normal person just trying to live a normal life.
And the danger is when you stop that listening to how you really feel, and so many of these diets where you're following a prescription, per se, kind of lead you down that path.
That's exactly right.
So, Dr. Clower, where else can people find information? You've got a lot of things going on. You've helped thousands and thousands of people change their lives and their diet and their quality of life. Where else can people find your work?
You can find more about who we are and what we do and the book if you want. On our website, just my name, it's willclower.com. Right on the first page, what you'll see is the book, but also an interview I did for the Cancer Institute on all the different health properties of chocolate. They did a really good job, but you can find that there on our website.
Great. great, and that's Clower, spelled C-L-O-W-E-R, and the book is Eat Chocolate, Lose Weight.
I believe that this year is the year of chocolate. And what I mean by that is that, if you remember, chocolate now is like wine 10 years ago. Do you remember wine? At one point, it was definitely not recommended. It wasn't good for you. And then it became nutritionally vacuous. In other words, just empty calories. We've heard that. And then a tipping point happened. Enough research was brought to bear so that finally it started being something that was recommended because it's so good for you. And so people said, okay, fine, it's good for you, but you need to have this amount in this way. And red is good. You need to have this amount of it, 1 to 2 per day, pregnant ladies aside. And so there was a time food recommendation. Right now, for chocolate, it's not recommended despite all the incredible health benefits. But this is the year that the critical mass of research showing heart health and brain health and emotional health and exercise physiology health with your muscles and control of insulin for diabetics, all of these research data are going to make the tipping point happen this year so that by the end of the year, I believe, we will have concrete recommendations saying what percentage of cocoa is best for you, should you start with, and how much should you have in a day. So this is the year of chocolate.
And I think you're right about that. You know, as we speak, one of our local markets, New Frontiers, is having a chocolate tasting today and Friday. It's catching fire. And certainly you've gotten our curiosity stirred. And Eat Chocolate is really a refreshing new book. And so great to hear some uplifting and inspirational ideas. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you.
That's the end of our interview with Dr. Will Glower on the chocolate diet. I hope you found it inspirational and interesting. For more great interviews on health, wellness, motivation, business, and marketing, go to my website, hardtofindseminars.com.